So the first reading is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. Honour the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now we skip 27 chapters to chapter 30, verses 7 to 9. 37 to 9. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. And then our third one is from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 to 21. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honour are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries.
How much money should I have? Should I look to get the best and highest wage that I can? What should I spend it on? Does it matter what I use my money for? Is it better to save as much as I can for later, or should I spend it now in smaller amounts? Should I be bothered with getting lots of money? Or is it better just to scrimp and save and be happy with having just a little? Now, you might have questions like these about money. It is something that we think a lot about in day-to-day life, isn't it? Whether we're trying to save or trying to spend. I mean, anyone here taking advantage of Black Friday sales in the last couple of days? Anyone looking forward to Cyber Monday tomorrow? Money, it's a part of life, isn't it? We need it to live. A day doesn't go by without us thinking about it or doing something with it. And I think one of the most important questions we can ask about money is, well, how do I use it wisely? How do I use it wisely? And by that, I don't just mean, how can I be smart with my money? Because everyone's trying to do that, aren't they? People all over the world are just trying to be smart with their money. No, I mean, how can we use it wisely as a follower of Jesus? Okay, what wisdom should I apply when it comes to money as a Christian? Well, now on that topic, on that question, Proverbs has lots to say. So as you know, we're in the middle of this series in Proverbs. We've had a couple of weeks off, but we're back into it tonight. And the overall theme in Proverbs is about living wisely under God. Now, we saw that when Matt opened it up for us a few weeks ago. We looked at the first 10 chapters, and we were presented there with two women, okay, woman wisdom and lady folly. Okay, and we saw and that these were two very different, in fact, two completely opposite paths you could take in life. Okay, one leading to life itself, the other leading only to death. But Proverbs doesn't just speak about wisdom, about living wisely, just in generalities. Okay, it actually has wisdom, a lot of wisdom to give in specific areas of life. And one of those is money. So tonight we're going to embark on a journey together through this book in our first topical series on the book of Proverbs. Okay, so Proverbs and wealth, that's our task for tonight. Now, to make the journey for us a little bit more structured, we're going to be looking at certain questions. Okay? We're going to try and answer certain questions relating to wealth and money, and we're going to see what wisdom Proverbs can give us to answer those. Okay? We're going to see how we can choose the path of wisdom when it comes to our money. All right, so our questions for tonight are, Well, that might be a bit too small. Hopefully it's not too small. What does Proverbs teach us about having much? And what does it teach us about being wealthy? What does it teach us about only having a little bit? Maybe we're not so wealthy. What does it teach us about that? Now, what about those who are foolish but wealthy? And what about that? And then last one, what does it mean to be truly rich? What does it mean to be truly rich? Now, before we get into it, just a couple of points of clarification. Now, Proverbs is a unique book, and I've learned this as I've gotten into it. So in the first 10 chapters, and we saw this, I think, actually, you know, after the first 10 chapters, it's filled with just like a bunch of sayings, all based on observations from daily life from King Solomon. Okay, King Solomon, the wisest guy to have ever lived. Now, if you want to read more about that, have a look at 1 Kings chapter 3. Now, these sayings, okay, they aren't kind of given in any particular order. They don't appear to be in any particular order. So to look at things about money, we've got to jump all over the place. And that's what we're going to be doing. So I'm only going to be putting a few of them up on the screen behind me. So you'll need to have your Bible ready to stick with me. And I hope you'll do that tonight. So we're going to be jumping around a bit. Now, second thing, we're only looking at what Proverbs has to say tonight. Okay, the Bible says a lot about money, but we're just looking primarily at Proverbs. There's more that the Bible has to say, but Proverbs for tonight. And then the last thing, we're not even actually going to look at everything Proverbs says because it says so much. Okay, so we're not even going to cover absolutely everything. But if you'd like to know a bit more detail, then let me encourage you to get the book, which I found really helpful in preparing this sermon. It's by a gentleman named Tremper Longman III. Yes, he has Roman numerals in his name. Tremper Longman III, and the book's called How to Read Proverbs. It has a section on money, and it's really helpful. So definitely check that out. All right, there you go. First question then, what does Proverbs have to teach us about having much? Now, in other words, what does it say about being wealthy? Now, just to give you a sense of how a book like Proverbs goes about answering a question like that, I'm going to show you two different verses, two different sayings we could use to answer this question. Okay, so the first one's in chapter 10, verse 22. So grab your Bible, turn to Proverbs 10, verse 22. I'm going to listen for the flicking of pages and gauge when to start based on when it all gets quiet. So Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Okay, here we go. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Okay, well, what's that saying? Well, I think in other words, God, it's pretty simple. It's saying God blesses people with wealth. Okay, so in answer to this question, I think it's saying, what's it telling us about wealth? Well, it's saying wealth's not inherently bad. It's not a bad thing to be wealthy. In fact, it's saying if you've got wealth, it's because God's blessed you with it. Now, if that was all Proverbs said, well, hey, we might end up in prosperity gospel territory. But of course, that's not all that Proverbs says, and it's not what the Bible says either. So we're going to have a look at a second verse just to balance things out. So now turn to chapter 13, verse 8. In Proverbs 13, verse 8. Here we go. The ransom of a man's life is his wealth, but a poor man, he is no threat. Now, what's that? What is that saying? Well, if a man with wealth gets into trouble, this observation saying, if he gets into trouble, he can get himself out of it using his wealth. But on the flip side, the poor person, the poor man, doesn't have to worry about getting into trouble because no one's out after his money. Okay, he doesn't even hear the threats because no one's coming after him. So the poor man, in that sense, doesn't have to worry about the things that the wealthy man does. Okay, and so there you go, two different sayings that we could use to answer this question, and two obviously quite different answers. Okay, so I'll put them both up on the screen together there. So can you see now the way that our Proverbs can answer questions that we come to it with? Okay, now here's what it doesn't do when it answers a question. Okay, Proverbs doesn't give once for all unilateral answers. Okay, in other words, the one or two line sayings from Proverbs, they're not meant to be read as applicable all the time in every situation. Okay, so those two examples we just looked at, right? It is true that people who are wealthy can experience sorrow. Okay, people who are wealthy do experience sorrow and trouble, and thus that first verse isn't applicable in that instance, is it? But also, a poor person can get into trouble because they don't have means, because they don't have wealth. Okay, so again, that second verse, not always applicable. All right, and so I just wanted to give you that to give you a taste. This is what we need to keep in mind as we go through Proverbs when we're looking at topics from Proverbs. We've got to keep in mind that when it gives us observations, they're always meant for a certain context and not always unilateral. You could say they're more general principles rather than absolute rules. Okay, so we're going to keep that in mind as we go through things tonight. All right, so back to our question. What can Proverbs teach us about having much? Well, let's have a look at a couple more verses. So now chapter 14, verse 24. Chapter 14, verse 24. Okay. The crown of the wise is their wealth, but the folly of fools brings folly. Now, a sign of wise stewardship of all that God's giving you, a sign of wise living may be that you end up with wealth. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If you look after the things that God has given you, then it's likely that you'll end up with more rather than with less. But if you abuse what God has given you and you don't take care of it, well, then you wouldn't be surprised if all that does is cause you trouble. Well, does that mean then that we should be saving all of our money then? Should we be holding on to it, taking care of it, not letting it out of our grasp? Should we be putting it all into term deposits or long-term stock purchases? Now, a gentleman named Warren Buffett, some of the folks who are older here may recognize that name. He's a stock market billionaire, and he's known for being frugal, okay, for not buying any electronics or even carrying a mobile phone and living only in modest housing. Okay, is that the sort of lifestyle we should be aiming for? Well, Proverbs says more. It also encourages us not to be stingy. So let me read to you chapter 11, verse 24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. So in other words, stinginess, well, that's no guarantee of wealth. And in fact, it can cause the opposite. So it's better to be generous than to be stingy. Now, you might be here this evening, you're thinking, look, none of this applies to me. I just don't have much at all. And sure, wealth, it may be a blessing from God, but it also goes without saying that many Christians don't have wealth. Okay? Maybe they may only just get by. And sure, compared to the rest of the world, most of us here, we've got lots. Okay? We're considered wealthy on a world scale. But nonetheless, you may be struggling with your finances. And perhaps that's you this evening. Maybe you're a struggling student, or you've got yourself into debt, or your job doesn't pay that well, or maybe you're just lacking motivation, or you're just terrible with money. Well, what then? What can Proverbs teach us about having little? Okay, our second question for tonight. Now, Proverbs basically says two things about having little. Okay, what it says is it comes about in either one of two ways. The first way is through oppression. Okay, you might only have little because you're being oppressed. The second way is you might only have little because you've been foolish. Okay, well, let's look at the first. So poverty might come upon you because you're being treated in a harsh manner or because of injustice. Okay, so have a look at chapter 13, verse 23. Proverbs 13, verse 23. The fallow ground of the poor would yield much food, but it is swept away through injustice. Okay, sometimes the poor just don't have much because it's all taken away through unjust means. Now, so yeah, there wasn't a heap. There was a little bit that Proverbs said about injustice, but most of the things it said about people who don't have much, most of it came about from Proverbs about through foolishness. Okay, so have a look at chapter 10, verses 4 to 5. Here's what it says about only having a little bit. 10, verse 4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Now that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Okay, if you're constantly sleeping in, if you can't be bothered getting about your tasks, or you're just happy to leave them for later, if you're always leaving the important things for tomorrow and doing the trivial instead today, well, that's not wise, is it? And it's no wonder that if that's the case, that you might struggle to get by. So is this a problem for you? Now, poverty might also be caused, Proverbs says, through too much indulgence, through having too much of a good thing. Again, this is something that you've no doubt seen examples of. So have a look this time at 21, verse 17. Chapter 21, verse 17. Whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Pretty blunt. Okay, if you're always indulging in the finer things of life, well, don't be surprised if that means there's not much left over for necessities at the end of the month. Now, with all that kind of said, it's pretty clear from Proverbs, isn't it? And we see this all the time. If you're foolish with what God's given you, well, you risk ending up with very little. Now, you might be asking again at this point, hold on a sec, Josh. Now, we see in our world all around us, all the time, people who perhaps are foolish with their money, or people who perhaps go about purposefully cheating others out of money, who end up fabulously wealthy. Okay, so it's not necessarily the case that people who are foolish end up poor. So what does Proverbs have to say about that? What do we do about people who are terrible with their money or who oppress other people and still end up with heaps? What do we have to say about that? Well, we actually had a clear example of this in the news just this last week, if you've been keeping an eye on things, because one of the big four banks, Westpac, came under fire, didn't it, for not doing due diligence when it came to sending money overseas, where, as it turns out, there's great risks that'll end up in the hand of money launderers or child exploitation criminals. Now, after the story broke about this, the CEO of Westpac, well, he fell on his sword after a little bit, but did he walk away with nothing? No, for failing to do his job and failing to protect the vulnerable, he walked away with a golden handshake with a cool $2.7 million. And laughing all the way from the bank. Now, how does that work? Okay, that's not a unique situation in our society, is it? We see those things regularly. So what does Proverbs have to say about those who do the wrong thing but still end up with plenty? Let's have a look at chapter 11, verse 7. Proverbs 11, verse 7. Okay, verse 7, when the wicked dies, his hope will perish, and the expectation of wealth perishes too. And then down, I have a look at verse 4 of the same chapter. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. And then one more, over to chapter 21, verse 6. 21, verse 6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. And the truth of the matter is that those who do the wrong thing to gain wealth, or maybe those who live fabulously wealthy lives at the same time as shunning God, well, in the end, their wealth is of no real value. It'll be there one day and then gone the next. And all it really earns them is death, because it's of no value whatsoever in earning a place in God's family. Now, you only have this life to live wisely under God, says Proverbs. So why would you waste it chasing after riches? Because they don't last. Now, you could choose a career based primarily on how much money it's going to earn you. Right? That could be the decision you make. But you could spend all your time, perhaps, wishing that you had the lifestyle of the rich and famous. Or you could have all of your wealth and cling on to it so tightly that you're unwilling to share it with anyone else. But Proverbs says all these paths ignore the truth. That your wealth is only temporary. And it doesn't help you one bit once life ends. And so that's why another thing that Proverbs does over and over is it encourages us to be generous rather than to be greedy. Okay, so have a look at 28 verse 25. Proverbs 28 verse 25. Yeah, a greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched. And then all the way back to chapter 3, 27 to 28. Proverbs 3, 27 to 28. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, "Go and come again, tomorrow I will give it," when you have it with you then. Okay, so that's pretty clear, isn't it? We're not to be stingy with our money. We're not to expect that the treasures of this life all are based on how much money we have. But we are to, whatever we've been given, we are to call to be generous, aren't we? To be generous with what we have, with what God has given us. Now, this, I think, brings us to our last question for tonight. Okay, this, I think, is the key question for us. Okay, what does it mean to be truly rich? We've talked about wealth in general. We've had a look at some different aspects. But what does it mean to be truly rich, according to Proverbs? Now, I wonder, how would you answer that question? What do you think the answer is? Okay, what does it mean to be truly rich? Does it mean not that, you know, you're like a billionaire, but that you've got enough so that you never have to worry about money? Is that being truly rich? Or does it mean that you can afford to buy your own house? Is that the level of being truly rich? Does it mean that you just don't have to constantly keep checking your bank balance every day? Does it mean that you get to pick which suburb you want to live in? Maybe for you, being rich has nothing to do with money. Maybe being truly rich is having a family that loves you, or having kids that are well adjusted, or being able to do lots of traveling, or just plain old being happy. Maybe that's what it means for you to be truly rich. And I think you would think that if you had these things, if you had these riches, that you would naturally be happy, right? If you had all those things. I mean, who wouldn't want to live in the Golden Triangle? But who wouldn't want to be able to go on multiple overseas holidays every year? Okay, who wouldn't want those sort of riches? And yet, it just seems oh so unsatisfactory, doesn't it? These things, they just can't bear the weight that we want to place on them. Now, we live in the city we live in, Perth, I think is a pretty fantastic city. It's got pretty much everything you could want. And yet, deep down, I think it feels like these sort of riches are like always just at the end of our fingertips, just outside of our reach. Now, Proverbs says that's because you're looking in the wrong place for riches. But true riches lie elsewhere, according to Proverbs. And here's, I think, where we get to the heart of what Proverbs has to say about wealth. Okay, so let's turn to chapter 24, verse 3 and 4. Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So, true riches, according to Proverbs, comes not from having loads of savings, and not from having a hefty investment portfolio, but from having wisdom. Okay, wisdom is the key. But what sort of wisdom are we talking about? Is this just a high IQ thing? Well, remember those first 10 chapters of Proverbs. We looked at them a couple of weeks ago now. And as I said, we were presented with a choice between two women, woman wisdom and lady folly. Well, let's go back and have a look at what woman wisdom says about money in chapter 8. Okay, chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Okay, chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Now, take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. So there's nothing better in this life, nothing of greater worth than a life lived wisely under God. And we can put all our stock into the things of this world, but in the end, it just goes bust. The only thing that really lasts is living a life of godly wisdom. And now, this is what Jesus was getting at when he spoke on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, which is what we read earlier. No, not that one. There you go. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when it comes to money, according to Proverbs and according to Jesus, what matters most is not your hip pocket, but your heart. Hey, it's not bad to have money, as we've already seen. Wealth can be a blessing from God. But when we chase it, when we long for it, when our heart's desire is for wealth, for possessions, for the right lifestyle, rather than for following Jesus, well, that's when we're following Lady Folly instead of Woman Wisdom. And that's why Jesus, I think, says only a couple of verses later, Matthew 6, 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And you cannot serve God and money. So tonight, which is it for you? Where does your heart lie? What treasure do you seek most? The treasures of this world or the true riches of living for Jesus? Now, Proverbs makes it clear. There's nothing better than choosing wisdom over wealth, godliness over gold, Jesus over a jacuzzi. Okay, but that leaves us with one final question, doesn't it? Now, what's to be our overarching goal when it comes to our money? If we want to live in a wise manner, what do we do with our money? Okay, how can we use it in such a way that we serve God rather than money itself? For that, we'll read one more verse from Proverbs, and with this I'll finish. Okay, so over to chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. What do we do with our money? Chapter 3, verse 9. Honour the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, and your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Now, the key to wise living when it comes to wealth, when it comes to money, is to honour God with whatever it is that he's given us, whether that's much or whether that's little. And that's where true riches lie. That's the path of true wisdom. Why don't you pray with me? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word to us this evening. Thanks for helping us to think wisely about our money. We pray that you'd help us to honour you with what you've given us. May we reflect the love of Jesus as we save, as we spend, as we give, as we receive. Help us not to take this lightly, but to be continually reflecting on how we can use our wealth to give glory to the name of Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.